Broom at twilight. Some climbs end nowhere. Like the unplanned climb I took this evening, I'd gone down the beach some little way, and though the sun was low, I thought that it would see me round those rocks to the next cove, with time enough to watch the tide come in, and maybe make it back without getting my feet wet. No such luck. Beyond that stretch, the tide was in already, and there was nothing to do but climb the cliffs up to the road and walk back home that way. Dark doesn't wait this time of year. I climbed, and the sun went down as I went up, went right on falling beyond the unseen edge, faster than I could find my holds, footholds in clay, handholds on anchored roots, and all the while the sky fast darkening out from above. Near water, the gray hour is luminous, and by the beach I should have had no trouble finding my way. Where I came up, though, something blocked the light. It was the sameness that surprised me. Broom, a forest of it, higher than my head. And not in clumps, the way it seems to grow by day, but in a solid wall, an army bristling with strange intent. The broom I knew grew in tall waving tufts like uncut hay to wade through at high noon. This broom stood up like earth's raised hackles in the failing light, a massing of ominous spikes against the sky and stems that wouldn't give way. I couldn't find the mouse paths children make to get to the sea, but had to plunge, broom closing over me, into a tangible, edgeless element, banking on where I thought the road must be. A meditation between claims. You want to close your hand on something perfect. You want to say, aha. Everything moves towards this, or seems to move. You measure it in the inches you must let down on the children's overalls, tearing the pages off the wall each month. A friend phones with news that another friend has taken Tibetan vows. Meanwhile, the kitchen is filling up with the smell of burnt rice. You remind yourself to buy postage stamps tomorrow. The mover and the thing moved. Are they two or one? If two, is the thing moved within or without? Questions you do not often bother yourself with, though you should. The corner store is closed for the high holy days. And though the air has a smell not far from snow, your reluctance to strip the garden is understandable. Laundry is piling up in the back room. Mondays and Thursdays, the trash must be carried out or it accumulates. Each day, things get moved about and put back in their places, and you accept this, the shape that it gives a life, though the need to make room supersedes other needs. If bidding your guest goodbye, you stand too long at the open door, house heat escapes, and the oil bill will be higher next month. The toll continues, wrapping the green tomatoes in news of the latest assassination. The mover and the thing moved. It all comes down to this. One wants to sit in the sun like a stone. One wants to move the stone. Which is better? Interim. You're on a scaffold, I'm down below, and you want to talk yet, as though talk on such a slant meant anything. You teetering there in your high place without a rope, and I in a hole where I can't see your face. It's a joke, love. Let's wait till there's at least a hope of seeing eye to eye, what? Talk about talking straight. I'll stay here and make patterns in the gravel, or call down and I'll hand you up your level. Station. The gulls around the spaceship in front of the Science Museum seem to like the spaceship. They seem to be thinking about it, too, walking in circles on the polished grass, and casting it sidelong glances as the light glances off their polished backs. So much clean, bright whiteness here on the flat, smooth green at summer noon. We come to a halt before it, who would not, and gaze. The gulls are white as envelopes and circulate. The stationary hull reverberates with gleam. Not what we came to see, two travelers, refugees of our own pasts, come for the day on business. Still, we have for no clear reason to be fathomed, to pause here, hand in hand, trying to net a thought. Blank as the gulls and the mute ship poised for flight it will not take. The thought that beats, propeller-like, above our heads is that we're here, wherever we were before, wherever we mean to be. Redoing the entrance. Today the stairs end in mid-air, halfway down. I see you at the bottom, pencil in hand, chewing your lip, assessing with slight frown the space you've opened for the curved stairs planned in place of straight ones. You've got it figured out, you tell me, smell of hot sawdust on the air. You see how you can do it, scenting my doubt. I gaze down at the sawdust in your hair and wonder at the faith that made the cut before the plans were drawn. The way you are, the way you made me yours, not asking what could go wrong, trusting we'd come this far. And how you've placed a table for a landing, so I can climb down now to where you're standing. Poem on Father's Day. There appears suddenly, out of nowhere, a blemish in the mirror on a piece of sentimental furniture, a bubble in the bevel of the scalloped border. Where are you now, my father? 54 years gone, whose adolescent face once looked back at itself from this mirror. Father, it wasn't given me to know. Father, I never called on Father's Day. Truth burns through a dream. Sometimes I have felt your presence in a dream, have dreamed about you. Today, thinking of you, I dialed your brother, last of the living uncles. But how am I to read this pucker in the silver? A flaw shaped like a tear. Last time I looked, it wasn't there. It is your mother's face that looks back at me now from the glass, she who outlived you 48 years, but not the wizened face I said goodbye to. It is her face as you last knew it, face I remember from when I was small, I see framed here. The son I named for you turns 30 this week. Somewhere at the back of my mind, an old clock goes on chiming the quarters, a clock of my childhood. Cameo. Remembering our younger selves in the rain, ducking under stairways, sheltering, street lamps reflected trembling in cold puddles. It was February or early March, an early thaw, not yet spring. It must have been soon after we met. We were barely acquainted then. Nothing had begun for us yet. What were we doing there on Lorne Avenue that night in the rain? Heads together, whispering. Where had we been? Going home to separate rooms, but taking our time. We were students. It seems to me now we were children still. The smell was of spring. Rain sound a thin pecking at the last snow crusts, rain dripping from the landings. We were hushed, listening. We could not know the brink we stood on.